how I feel about painting has completely changed. I set myself like mental goals this year and didn't hit any of them. I wanted to have the thing. I didn't want to do the thing. Like, I wanted to have the thing. Once I'd sprayed it, I just didn't want to look at it. Like, I was literally like...
I think so many people suffer when at the start of the year, they're like, New Year's resolution, I'm going to do this army, like you said.
Rather than say one day, say day one. I think if you dedicate enough time to that, every time you paint and every time you sit down, you will see massive improvement in your brush ability.
New preview model for the Black Library reveal show.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think?
Good. Yeah. I think the trade-off for tactical rock for tactical squig is
it's in full force. That 100%. We've seen that before, haven't we?
It's multi-use. It's not only for the foot, but for the gun. So it's
I don't know if we've seen it for like literally a squig.
The Goth Rocker had a squig. And,
oh, it's like a squig, yeah, and, speaker yeah. thing, yeah.
And
yeah.
then that the new Warcry one, not Warcry, the Age of Sigma one.
Oh, yeah, the Anvil.
Squig thing. Anvil. So, yeah they get about the squigs. Yeah. The multifunctional pets.
I love it. I think it's sick. But the thought of painting it and how many details there are on it, on what is not probably not a huge model.
It kind of reminds me of...
what base is that? Like a?
That's got to be a 50 or 50 40.
That can't be a 40.
It might be. I don't think that's a 50. I think it's
that's
a 50.
Not a 40.
50. I went,
or 60.
I don't think it's 60. I think a 50. I think meet in the middle. I think a 50.
50 or 60.
We'll call it even a 50. Yeah. It reminds me of that. What was the orc model where like there's like the grot on top of like the gun?
That's the new orc war boss in Mega Armor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of that in a way.
Yeah. Great model.
Yeah. It's very cool. But yeah, like I say, there's quite a few details.
I'm not surprised. He's a bad moon. He's got all the gear. Like he's they are the A-list orc celebrities. The bad moons with all their teeth. So yeah, he's got so much gear on him. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but it looks pretty hench.
Is the gun isn't just resting on the squig, is it? It's actually the squig is attached.
He's got a full back.
Oh, he's bolted in. Yeah,
yeah. The squig is actually attached.
How that works, I'm not sure.
It's
do they have to? That's like a three-legged race, that isn't it? Like they've got to sort of coordinate their movements.
Yeah. He probably just picks it up, and then the squig's just sort of hanging there.
That would make more sense.
Like when you hang, like when you hang a dog over like the bath, and
they start doing the feet. Going, yeah.
Oh, it just moves about by itself.
So they're just—he's just running in battle, and the squig thinks that it's like running, but it's not.
Fair.
Is that when like when they're dreaming and they're on the side and they're.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he skipped leg day, James.
No, I didn't either this weekend. Yeah. So I often have
that little sample.
Yeah, yeah, it was good.
You served it, and I returned.
James has
it.
Been limping around the office all day.
So
sound like an old man coming up the stairs earlier. Look, I was like, "Who's that?" Oh, yeah, it's James.
I've still got a bit of youth in me left, but
keyword is bit.
Bit. I never said a lot. I said a bit. Yeah. No. Mr. Box from Vanguard. We often have sort of like zombie side weekends and like do like big like gaming weekend or just hang out and stuff. But every time he comes down. He drags me kicking and screaming pretty much to this what he claims is one of the best gyms in the country, which is Rip Gym in Basildon.
Yeah.
And it's a serious gym.
He described it to me as Warhammer World for gym nerds.
Yeah. Apparently all the gear and the machines in there, and this isn't a plug for them. We don't know them at all whatsoever, but all the gear and stuff in there.
I always thought that Ripped was, because like we say, it's local to us.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that it was a chain, like a big chain.
I'm not sure.
But the way that Boxy was talking about it, there's not that many of them, or that's the only one, which is mad.
Oh, yeah, he absolutely loves it. The Warhammer World of gyms.
Yeah.
Is there an exhibition hall? You just go around and look at a bunch of row machines.
there isn't. No. But whenever he comes down, he always goes down there and always drags me along. As everyone knows, he's mega into fitness and stuff. Now, I don't mind a bit of calisthenics, lots of walking, own body weight training, like pull-ups, press-ups, all that kind of stuff. I don't mind that. That's my bag. I enjoy that. Trying to leg press ridiculous amounts of weight is not my forte. Clearly, like Arnie, Iron Man, and Mr. Olympia tournaments have got nothing to worry about. I'm not looking to make an entrance. But yeah, he absolutely destroyed my legs this weekend. So yeah. Yeah, he's like, go on, it's not that heavy. I was like, it is. It is, trust me. Yeah. But no, it's always good to hang out with Mr. Box. And we had some really good games of Zombicide, which if you haven't played it, it's an amazing game.
Did you get any painting in with him?
No, it was purely just hanging out, playing some games. We played like Mansions of Madness and Zombicide. Like Tom, one of our friends, came
Who's
over.
Whose Zombicide set is it?
It was, well, I've got quite a few sets of Zombicide. Box has got quite a few sets of Zombicide.
They're painted?
They're not painted. But we played one of the original ones. We played it's the fantasy one, which is clearly Lord of the Rings, but not Lord of the Rings. It was quite good. It was really, really good. So much so, I bought the same one because it was that good. So, yeah.
There's nothing you need more than more miniatures.
More models, I would say.
These ones you don't have to paint.
If there's one thing that James is short of in his life.
Models.
It's models.
Whenever I'm at James's, I look around and I go, not that much Warhammer here, really, actually.
You know what this place needs? There's some Warhammer.
There's not Warhammer on every shelf. Like, what's going on here? You need some more.
There is a fair bit of Warhammer at mine. But these models aren't to be painted. They are just purely...
I'm actually impressed you found something you didn't have.
Yeah. They're not Games Workshop. That's the thing. True, it's a totally new manufacturer to play with.
True.
Yeah. They are really, really good. So, yeah. That was fun. It's a good weekend.
Speaking of abundance of miniatures, miniature of the year. Mm-hmm. Upon us.
Yeah.
What do we think?
We all cast our votes.
I don't have one off the top of my head, being honest, because there's so much stuff that came out this year.
Well, we were saying this, like when we looked at the list of all the models, it's absolutely staggering.
Do you know,
you've got like big reveals as well, like to have like Farsight and like Angron and the Lion in like the same quarter.
What I was about to say was, I said in the office the other day, I think we were just doing some emails or something, and I was like, do you know Angron was only this year?
Yeah.
Like,
February?
Yeah, it was like February, March time. Like, that seems like so long ago. I know they probably announced it last year, I think.
Was it pre-Christmas we got a teaser?
It's before Christmas.
It got leaked, didn't it?
It got leaked, and then they announced it like pretty quickly. So I think it maybe just feels like it's been a while, but yeah. To be fair, it came out in February, so it would have been announced just before Christmas or something anyway, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one that I read and I was like, I can't actually believe that was this year. You might as well say your one, because, you know, we already know.
Well, yours is a bit obvious as well. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but mine, I feel like mine has merit to it.
Don't be trying to pull that straw.
Mine has merit to it. Mine has actual merit. I don't think there's anyone voting for Dante isn't a Blood Angel.
Was Dante this year as well?
It was, yeah.
There's so many models this year. Yeah, it was. That's what I'm saying. On any normal year, you'd have been like, well, Angron's going to win. But then, the Lion came out as well. And then you're like, oh,
yeah.
There's so many like centerpiece models.
I genuinely think, because I'm nowhere near as much of a Dark Angel fanboy as James is a Blood Angel fanboy.
That's very true.
But even so.
No one is.
Even so, I just think that Lion model is just one of the best models they've done in so long. I think it should take it. However, one of the things I was going to say, which I'm quite surprised at, I saw Rosie, one of the painters on the team, post about that the Fulgrim model wasn't on the list. You couldn't vote for it.
Maybe that's out now, isn't it?
Yeah, but maybe there was a cutoff date or something. Maybe they're doing it from a period to a period.
I mean, it's been out for like a couple of months or something. There was other models from then, I'm sure.
Maybe there's a reason why.
Maybe Forge World isn't on the list in general.
Potentially,
yeah. Well, it's not Forge World anymore, is it?
Maybe at the time expert, they're making the list.
Expert resin, they call it now. So, yeah, I thought it was a bit weird. I didn't necessarily notice other Forge World ones on there, I guess. So maybe that is it. But that would be a big shame, I think, because a lot of people would vote for that model.
Yeah, it is a really good model.
Still not seen one in the flesh, so I can't really comment on it too much.
No, me neither. But I just know that a lot of people loved it.
Yeah, sure.
And also just all the Cities of Sigmar stuff.
Yeah.
I think any of the key things in that I would throw in there. But
do you know what? It's a real tough vote, being frank. It's not like there's one standout model, which for me is like...
I feel like normally every year there's an obvious one. And there's not this year.
I'm saying
there's not this year, but normally there is.
I mean, yeah, I think that removing all bias from the one that I obviously chose, there are so many that
that are really centerpiece standout models, which I think design wise, like, I know it's fairly recent, but I think we spoke about it in one of the previous episodes, but that Necron, the Lord with the shit, the blade, the that where it's trans, where it's moving or whatever, yeah. It is like that for me, just design wise, is an amazing model. It's not like a huge model like Angron or like Lion or whatever, blah, blah, but just for the sheer design aspect of it, I think
there's it's difficult to pick like a best model, because it's like, on what merit is it your favorite model, or is it the one that you think is designed the best, or the one that you think was like an important release for a faction that maybe hasn't had some love in a while, or do you get what I mean?
I think I always take it to be like your favorite, like the best designed model, the one that you think that's the best they could. They couldn't have done that model any better.
That's fair.
That's the way that I look at it.
Well, you obviously went for the Lion. So that's the evidence.
And then, look, Azrael's there as well. Azrael was very good.
Azrael was good.
I actually really liked Azrael.
I think Azrael as a model is going to stand the test of time, kind of thing. I think people are still going to love that model in years to come.
I think that's because it nods so hard to the original, which is a very good thing in my mind. Like, I'm not, there's no kickback on Nox from my perspective at all. Like, it genuinely is really, really good nod to the original and keeps a lot of the heritage, which I think is really important when they do redos of characters or iconic models. So
how did you feel about the Dante one then? Because that's not a nod to the original, really, is it?
It has a few extra bits and bobs and a few changes and things. Like, for me,
there's a different model,
like, just looking at it as a model, I do love it 100%. Like, it ticks the boxes for me as a Blood Angels fan. The real hard nerd Blood Angel fanboy in me, I wish that he had the original helmet and it wasn't in it, or the death mask, and it wasn't death mask almost like welded to the front of a Mark 10 helmet. I wish it was the actual, because that for me is really, really, like, obviously he's got an iron halo now on the jump pack, but the whole thing about him is he wears a death mask of Sanguinius, so I think it's a little bit of a shame to not continue that personally. But again, you can just do it. I can just change the head or whatever if it really bugs me that much. I painted one with the new head and it's great. So that for me is just the only thing. But as a model in itself, removing all the super, super fanboy bias, like, I think it's a great, really great dynamic pose, especially from him having such a fairly static model that he had for a very, very long time. To have such a dynamic, such a commanding pose really suits the model and the character. So for me, it's the obvious choice. For both aspects, but I still think Angron's
probably my pick, honest.
Angron is good. I think the Lion still takes it for me. Angron didn't like blow my mind or anything.
See, he did for me. The way that it, same as Azrael, the way it nods to a lot of people didn't like it, as in I saw lots of comments saying, oh, it doesn't look like him, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. But there's some, I put a post up on my personal social, like on my personal Instagram, like about a comparison to a bit of artwork, and it's very similar. Like, you can clearly see that Daz, when he designed it, was looking at that specific bit of artwork and a couple of others. Like, you can really see a lot of the nuances of it. So I think it's the first, like, Angron, when you see the full transformation from him, obviously, as a 30K Primarch all the way through to where he is now, obviously, in 40K, I think that it, for me, it's, I think it will be Model of the Year. And I'm going to say that now. I think that Angron definitely
will. I think it probably will get it.
Yeah. I'm very confident.
Especially when you look at the years previous and the models that tend to win.
It says a lot about how much stuff has come out this year that it's not an obvious win for a model like that.
No, this one probably feels the least obvious than any of them.
But in previous years, like Magnus won Model of the Year when that came out, and then so did some of the other Demon Primarchs.
We've already said it, but there is so much stuff come out in the time frame, and when you look at that list and the options to choose from, it's just like, well, that's amazing. Like, there's so many.
There's
on
very
there.
Few, like, out of what will be the main contenders. I don't know if there's any really where I would be like, oh, that doesn't deserve it. Do you know what I mean? I think that a lot of the big models this year have all kind of smashed.
We've got a lot of like small models as well with 10th. Like, Tyranid's got a huge overhaul, tons of new marine infantry.
Yeah. I think we're overlooking a lot of the ones that just that captivate people. Like, for example, I don't know if it's, again, I don't, forgive me if I get this wrong, but isn't there like a crab that came out, or the monkey with a knife on the tail or stuff like that?
Is that this year?
I don't know if it's this year or not, but I think something like that.
I get what you mean though, like, stuff like
that's,
that.
That's like a left field.
That's the one year, the what's the one with the guitar?
Oh, I know that one. The rocker, wasn't it?
The golf rocker.
No, no, no. The
noise
marine.
That one.
I was
going to
say the noise rocker. No, I was nearly there, but yeah, yeah, the noise marine, like that one year.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, certain models like that sometimes get people going.
See, I think something like that also has the clout to potentially take it, like, because it's a model that's funny, that like people really like warm to quite well. Like, I think there's a squid, isn't there? I think there's a squid model as well.
There's all the underworlds.
Yeah.
I think
something like that. Like, I really like the underworlds one that's all the dogs and the guy.
I'm pretty sure the underworld stuff is listed like as a set together. So yeah, it's not like you're not voting for the crap.
That's true.
You're voting for the release. Yeah. Kind
of thing. Yeah.
I also like one of my favorite releases of the year, while not like even in the running for like model of the year, but one of my favorite releases was the Stern Guard Vets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are good. Yeah. What, the multi part or the ones that came with Leviathan?
I only painted the Leviathan ones, but obviously like the multi part ones.
The multi part ones. The default, like, well, they're both great, but the multi part ones are.
And we've got the new Terminators as well. Right.
I was about to say Terminators. That's quite a big. That could end up being a bit of a shock.
I think if you.
Shock winner.
I think, it's a substantial release. Like, regardless of like how you rank against other stuff.
Ages, yeah.
Those are like big releases.
I just think you gravitate more towards picking a centerpiece model for it, don't you? I suppose.
But stuff like that, you know, is going to be around for like 10 years plus.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to be like a core part of an army that someone builds 5 years from now.
100%. Well, if you're watching and you differ from what we think, then chuck in the comments what you think is your model of the year. What did you vote for? That's something we always like to know what you guys think. So tell us in the comments. That'd be quite good to see.
Just a quick one. We wanted to remind you that you can get your own miniatures painted by the world-class team here at Siege Studios. We offer a variety of painting levels and services to meet your needs and budget. Whether you want a centerpiece character or an entire gaming army, we offer well above the industry standard of quality and experience. You can learn more about our services and get a quote now at siegestudios.co.uk. And just for you podcast listeners, you can get 5% off of your first commission with us by using code PAINT5. Now back to the show.
Painting update. How are you getting on with the Night Lord? Week 3 of the updates.
Yeah, week 3. Yeah, good. I am working on the cape at the moment. So yeah, I'm doing that.
He's not getting far, is he?
I haven't done anything, mate. Yeah. So I'm keeping quiet. I haven't painted at all in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm working on the cape. I left it for ages and I was just working on the front and then the sword. And then I was like, right, I'm just going to start on the back. Because I felt like it was being left out. And I was like, right, I need to divert some time onto this and some attention onto this. So yeah, just working on the cape at the moment.
Another quiet week then for the
not so much quiet holiday. I've just chucked on a couple of audiobooks and got on with it, really. Like, yeah, nothing crazy.
Well, you've had some time off.
I've had some time off,
so
yeah. I spoke about it a little bit last week, didn't I, about my GD entry. I've been prepping,
yeah,
been cracking on with
all the updates on that.
Did some NMM.
The cycle is complete.
Yeah. As Will Brightly put it, my redemption arc is complete.
Yeah. Is that what he said?
That's what he said. Yeah. Yeah. I had quite a lot of people. I put a whip up on Instagram and I got so many messages about that. As I was put to the flames for my NMM hatred on the Hot Takes episode.
It's the thing that we were talking about. Was it last episode or something where like you can't escape something that you've said on here now?
I will say, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. And it's funny because we've spoke before about how like we don't consider NMM a technique. We consider it like a style.
It's an amalgamation.
An amalgamation of like, if you can glaze and blend a power sword, you can probably do some NMM, right?
Yeah.
So it was interesting putting it into practice because I haven't done NMM in probably a year and a half at least. So we've had all this conversation since then. So it was funny revisiting it. And it was more enjoyable than I thought, but I think that's because I was doing it on cloth texture.
Yeah.
So,
not a full, it was interesting. Full armor. Yeah.
Still, I'm warming to it in small amounts, but.
Would you still prefer True Metallics overall?
I think I've comfortably landed in. I really like the idea of it on like softer textures, but I'm mixing it with True Metallics, and that remains to be seen how well that's going. So,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Toeing the line. So, I'm going to do like True Metallic armor. But because the NMM is on like a tabard on the front, I'm hoping that will sell as like a different. It still looks gold, but it doesn't look like it's
gold weave as opposed to gold.
Yeah,
metal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
nice. Yeah.
That's been that. Should we have a look at some listeners' comments?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is a great username. Hive Mind Goes Om Nom says,
I mean, that's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. That is quite a good name.
We had some good ones last week, but that's a good, that's a brilliant one.
Oh, God. This is in regards to what people do while they listen to the podcast. Still getting some, this is some genuine, late applicants for...
genuinely one of my favourite things to hear about.
There's not like an application date.
Yeah. Sorry, you know, if you want to send in your application for what you do while you're listening to the show.
If you're listening to this and you do some far out job, like...
but I don't even care if it's a far out job. Like, just knowing, like...
Do you know what I find funniest is forgetting the fact that they listen to the podcast, because that's already like crazy to me. But the fact of these are the sort of jobs that you don't know exist and understand.
Right,
Until someone tells me that like what they're doing is such a niche specific thing. I'm like,
Right, well, bizarre. this is it. So now we have to ask the question. If you're listening to this and you have some completely super niche job and you listen to the podcast, we need to know so we can find the most niche.
I mean, we had the guy who inspects like fighter jets and stuff.
That's pretty good.
I mean, we talked about that on the podcast, or
I can't remember. That might be.
I got very briefly. I don't know. I can't get it up. But the I got a DM from a listener, and now because I don't have it here, I don't have his name either. But yeah, he sort of inspects like Boeing. Is it F-15s?
F-15 Eagles. Yeah.
Well, like when after they're done, he inspects them to like QCs them basically. And he said it takes like half hour per like however much like square footage. So he likes to put the podcast on while he's doing it. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Doing such an important job. And I'm going to put a bit of the base rim debate on.
Okay, right. Hive Mind Goes Omnom says, I work in the film and TV industry as an on-set technician, but I'm hoping to move over to being a screenwriter in the next year or so. I listen to / watch you guys while I work on my scripts. Got to give a big thanks as listening to the podcast has reignited my love for modeling and painting. Even though I've never been big into painting, for the 20-ish years I've collected Warhammer, I'm currently preparing a small Iron Snakes force and a couple of AOS characters and an army of Skyrars Dark Wolves with my own little twist on the colour scheme and lore. There we go.
I mean, nice. That's a lot of info, but what I'm going to say is Iron Snakes are a great chapter.
I was going to say, you're going to like that.
I love the Iron Snakes. They're great. So
yeah, that's really cool.
I love the idea of them like subliminally, like we say stuff and they're like, right, they're spitting it out in the script.
Can we maybe give like a, is there something we can ask that they work into the script? Can we like, is there a Jamesism or something that we can say, oh, come.
Del Boy's Vindaloo. Yeah.
That's not,
I mean, of all the ones to choose, that's the
reason that the script doesn't get pulled. Because they're like, they're comparing things to Del Boy's Vindaloo. Like, okay, maybe not. Maybe not. We won't do that.
You know when he goes through those, do you remember when you was at school, there'd be like those plagiarism like tests. They'd like run your essay for like a script. Yeah. It like comes up like paid perspective. PA86 says, on the matter of painting details to draw attention to faces and such, Darren Latham's Silver Skulls is a good example of great models with really well-painted details and simple armor that really stand out. Completely agreed. I'm following that route on my Blood Angel's successor as much as my skill allows. Love the podcast. Congratulations and greetings from Spain.
Pues hola. Gracias por oír al podcast. I can speak Spanish. I just thought I'd drop that in.
I was about to like try, but then I wanted to know. Yeah. And I didn't even know where to start.
No, so. I wanted to just drop that in there because it's great to hear that we have listeners obviously all over the world and especially from Spain, which is my half native country. So yeah, that's quite good. What I would say about that comment though, very very much so. Like obviously Daz's Marine chapter, it's very similar because to Paul Norton as well. Like, obviously Daz's chapter and also Paul Norton's chapter as well. I've totally forgotten the name of Paul's.
Is his like Iron Ravens?
Iron Ravens, that's it, yeah. It is Iron Ravens. So both what Daz has done with his Silver Skulls and also what Paul has done with his Iron Ravens is really good. It's using that sort of main colour that's very quick and very easy to get on, which looks great. Off the bat, and then obviously adding nuances of tone and hue with like spot colors and things, which I think is brilliant. There's like loads and loads of chapters you can do that with. And it's a really great way of painting armies quickly and to still have consistent quality as well, which is good.
Just looked it up, by the way. Silver Skulls, Brown Base Room.
Oh, for God's sake. It's Gaming Army.
Oh, next up. Chris Mason says, absolutely love the podcast. Don't have anyone to talk shop about painting with, so this is as close as I can get. Two thoughts. Speaking of access, in terms of getting paintbrush in places, I think it's when we speak about gluing models to the bases.
Yeah.
Should the GW sculptors pay more attention to that when they design the models or how they go together? The cloaks and capes especially. Sometimes you paint a model and you think, there's no way this person paints. Should we tackle that bit first?
I think there's just...
Well, is there more to the comment after?
Well, there's a second thought after. We'll hit this one first.
I just think that, like, it's like we were saying, it's choosing whether you want to attach to the base or not because of that access. And I think that's the thing, is like, just ask yourself the question, can I access that area of the model? And if the answer is no, then the obvious choice is to not put it on. But
I don't love the idea of like making things so over the top designed for painters that the model suffers from it, like a design that could have looked better.
No, I agree.
I personally think their role designing the model is to design the best model.
Exactly, yeah.
Don't worry about how easy it's going to be for me to paint it.
Because you'll always find a way. That's the
thing. I completely get that thought process, but when you break it down, it's like, if you implemented that, I think, like you say, maybe the quality of the models that we get would suffer a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, like if it's got a cape and you can't access it, like the Night Lord that I'm doing now, like I can't access areas of the model because of the cape, so it's off the base and it allows me to access it from all different angles and things. So yeah, I don't think that you should sacrifice design for ease of function. I think being harder to do or having to think about the way you approach it is always just going to push you as a painter, and I think that's what is needed. So yeah.
Okay, second part of that was, second thought on bases. With my Imperial Fists, I can't be bothered to get basing colours on the yellow. Too much hassle to fix, so I use a dot of super glue on the feet to glue the Marines to the bases. Then I base with sand and prime them. After that, I snap them off the base and fully do the bases. Then using their footprints, I use plastic glue to get them fixed onto the base, and their feet sink into the basing so you don't have to mess with pins. Keep up the good work. I like that because that's exactly what I do.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, that's actually a really good idea. I've never done it to that level before. I've always just been like, I'm either sticking them on and going with it, or I'm leaving them off.
Yeah, that's what I tend to do.
Straight up genius. That's the best way. You can still do, because the problem is if you do base the whole, put the sand across the whole base, you know, the contact point between the bottom and the base is got that sort of like mattress of sand underneath it. So the thing is like, by just doing that, it's perfect. You can do the base properly, stick the model on, and it marries perfectly. So yeah.
I've said as well, if you need to do any tiny touch-ups on stuff like that, that's what that GW texture paste is like perfect for.
Yeah.
If you have like a tiny little gap where, like, say you broke the model off and it took just like a tiny bit of sand off around the edge of it, or it didn't like perfectly marry up.
Yeah.
Rather than getting like your glue back out and your sand and like putting on a tiny little bit, like just getting some of that texture paste and just using your brush and just getting it right in there in the foot.
I saw a few comments potentially a little bit confused about the mention of texture paste last week. And I think maybe because we didn't specifically say, but a lot of people were saying like that they didn't like the texture paste because they don't like the colours of it, or they prefer to paint their bases and stuff. But I assume that anytime you'd mentioned that you're painting over it, or
you're adding stuff to it rather than
using the whatever the colour is.
It's getting painted. I just see it as like liquid sand. I put it on, and then once it's dry, I paint over it.
So. Yeah. Yeah, because I've always painted over it whenever I've used the texture paste as well. I've never actually kept
sometimes I'll keep it as like the base and I'll just dry brush straight over.
Yeah.
Because they've got quite a lot of colours as well. So like if you're doing like the Sterling Mud one,
yeah.
It's already brown. So I'm not just going to paint it another brown. That's a waste of time. So I'll just dry brush over it.
Yeah.
It's really good for adding variety of texture to bases. So yeah.
Well, speaking of texture paste, this is such a perfect segue. George Slade says, after all this base room chat, I'm considering running my texture paint all the way down the base edge as well, just to throw in a third option.
We've seen it.
Right, I was going to say, you laugh.
We've seen it.
Not only have we seen it, we've had the request for it.
Yeah.
From a client before, or multiple. Some people do that. They put the texture paste all the way around the base room as well. Which is a thing that never entered our minds all this time of chatting about it.
So that's,
I'll be honest, I'm considering that quite heretical.
So that's like some cakes have got icing on top, whereas they have icing all the way around.
I say you lot want it to look like the battleground. So you put your money where your mouth is, and you put your texture paint, put your sand and everything all around the base.
Oh, the sand.
The lot. That's what I say.
As I said.
You put your money where your mouth is. You want it to blend into the battlefield so bad.
Oh dear. Pete Wilco says, you know how we spoke about the structure of like the company last week, and we tried to give some like fair shout out to the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Pete Wilco says, whoa, hold up. You mean we're getting painting advice from the lads making coffee in the office?
Well, I'd probably spend more time making coffee than painting, to be fair. And yeah, we definitely drink a lot of coffee in this office, actually.
We're definitely an equal round making company.
Like, yeah, we share loads of
making tea.
George normally lines it up, so like I'm convinced George hears the kettle and he knows that everyone's had a drink.
And then comes down
and then he comes down and does one. Yeah. And he goes, anyone want a drink? We go, oh, I've just done one.
Yeah.
Does that actually happen?
It does happen sometimes. Does it?
Yeah. But yeah, that's how it tends to happen. I did notice one extra comment that I wanted to raise.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So I think
there was a bit of a mention from a certain Darren Latham about nose piercings.
Oh god. And, I forgot about this.
And I will say this. Daz, when you get one, I'll get one. so that's kind of where that's gone.
I said 100,000 subscriber special.
Yep.
We pierce your nose on
stream. Yeah.
On an episode.
Yeah.
For anyone who didn't see it, I'm just going to read this out. Darren Latham says, James is missing his nose piercing. That was on one of the clips.
I would say we get too many comments regarding nose piercing.
This is the second one we've mentioned on the show.
Yeah, but we get more than that. We've had more than that.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a thing.
Yeah.
Apparently it is. Well, I'm very much a fan of tattoos. I've never ever.
You've never done piercings.
Never done piercings.
Never done a piercing.
Piercings.
Yeah. Maybe we do that then. 100,000 subscriber special. You got to get us there first.
Who gets to do it? If we're going to do it on air,
we have to get someone in.
No, we'll throw a D6 each, and we'll get
Sparling in or someone like that.
No, the part of the fun is that we get to do it.
No. I love that we're talking about it as if it's actually going to happen.
It's going to happen. Right, everyone subscribe to the channel.
At no point did I actually agree.
No, you just said it. You just said it. Yeah, we was all here. I'm going to edit that so it sounds like James.
No, you're not. No.
Finally, we have a review over on iTunes. 5-star, of course. Nothing less.
Thank you very much.
Great Mini Painting Podcast. This is such a fun podcast. Some really insightful comments on painting tools and techniques. Terrific advice on focusing and setting goals, great recommendations on podcasts, and a friendly atmosphere throughout. Really enjoyed it.
I can't believe we have the audacity to read that out after just rattling off like 5-10 minutes about piercing James's nose, putting texture paste around our base ribs, all this other stuff. But yeah, other than that, wonderful review.
That was from Sydney Roundwood. So thank you very much. If you could please do us a favor, if you are listening on any of the audio platforms, or even if you're listening on YouTube, if you could give us a rating or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, that would very, very much help us out.
Well, I say, even if they're watching on YouTube, you've got an Apple account.
Yeah.
You've probably got an Apple.
You're probably watching this on YouTube on your iPhone.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So you can.
The stats speak for themselves,
yeah,
you know?
You can leave a little review over there.
Cheeky. Well, if you are on YouTube, speaking of, 76.2% of you are also not subscribed to the channel, but you listen to the show every week. So what are you doing? Please hit the red button to subscribe to the channel. It helps us bring in these episodes for free every single week, and you'll be notified when we upload a new one.
Big news, tickets are now on sale for the Siege Studios painting classes for 2024. For over 8 years, we've been running in-depth, hands-on classes across the UK, which has allowed us to create the perfect learning environment for improving your painting skills. With a variety of topics available, all our courses are taught by senior artists and feature practical demonstrations in a relaxed environment that welcomes interaction from you, discussions on theory, and an open Q&A session so you can ask that burning question you've had on your mind. You can even bring your models for feedback. To book now and reserve your place before tickets sell out, head over to siegestudios.co.uk/shop. I'll see you on a class soon.
Right, topic for this week. We're going to be talking about hobby goals again, I think. As we're coming to the end of the year, I thought it'd be a good chance to sort of speak about things we've done in this year, things we're proud of, things we want to focus on next year, maybe what the listeners should do next year, things we think painters should be focusing on, and how to set some hobby goals, I think.
Yeah. Before we get into it fully, did either of you have goals for this year?
Golden Demon was like the big focus for me because I started mine at the end of last year. So by like January, my main focus for the year was like, okay, entering Golden Demon, like get my entry sorted. That was my like laser focus priority at the start of the year. And then in terms of the second half of the year, I didn't have a ton planned really. Wasn't looking too far late into the year. Obviously, like every year, it's focus on what my weaknesses are as a painter and looking on how I can improve them.
Yeah. I suppose yours was probably the same with GD.
To an extent, yeah.
Well, no, because he was still doing his entry the day before. So it's not like he was super planned.
Day before. Day before.
Well, that morning.
Yeah. The day off.
Right. Yeah.
Get it right.
I meant more. Well, it was still, just because he didn't plan well was for that it, like it a, was still one of his goals.
Was that something you set at the start of the year? You're like, getting ready for that?
To paint for it, yeah, 100%. But then obviously that kind of changed as the model that I've always wanted came out finally. And
oh, that's true. Because it only came out a little while before, didn't it?
So, yeah. So, like, I had something in the works, but then obviously that dropped, and I was like, right, well, that's.
Had you started painting something else then?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. I've had like a diorama that I wanted to do for a long time. Like, just I've been dabbling with it, doing bits and bobs and here and there.
And that's the point, because I remember seeing.
I'd started it.
Something else that you.
Yeah, there was. I always have a few projects on hot plates, just ticking over, you know, but then he came out and I was like, right, well, I've got to paint that. I think personal like New Year's resolutions for me, I don't really do, but like,
I don't think it's a New Year's resolution.
Not like that's a New Year's resolution, but at, like, but I think for like, what I'm trying to say is that like my thing for going from 22 into 23 was I want to paint more than I painted that year. And I think that's always the thing that comes to mind, is like, I want to paint more than the year I've painted previously, because I know that I don't get as much time to paint as I used to.
Did you achieve that?
Yeah, I think I did. Cause I've done quite a few bits and bobs this year. You know, obviously for work, and I've done quite a lot of personal stuff as well. So I do think I've actually physically painted more than I have the previous year for once, which is good.
I'll tell you what, technically between us, we both painted, an army, and that's more than we do most years.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the Leviathan was a big thing. Like, we obviously managed to get the Leviathan done to a really high standard, which was good. I painted an orc in like a really quick time frame. I painted Snick Rock really quickly, which I was really happy to do.
Was that this year? That's what, like you said, with Angle. I can't believe that was this year.
Yeah. Snick Rock was this year.
And then a couple of, obviously, getting to paint.
Did a few of the Marines as well.
Yeah, Marines, yeah. And then...
did your famous Ultramarine successor?
Oh, the Genesis chapter.
Yeah. No longer. It's been subbed from one football team to another.
I love that you said that as if it wasn't a Blood Angel to start with. Yeah. As if he's like changed kit.
Not so much kit, it's just changed badge. But he just embraced
his identity.
Yeah, embraced who he really is.
It's like going from like one British high school to another. You just like, take the badge off of your blazer and sew the new one.
Sew the new one back on.
Yeah, but no, so painted a few character models for my, and that I think that leads nicely into 24, what I am going to be focusing on 24. So for painting, obviously painting more, which is what I want to do, but I've had a few burning desires to paint several bits and bobs over the last couple of weeks or so, actually. Like I mentioned about AdMech, there's a couple of things AdMech-wise I want to paint just to scratch that itch. But I do want to do it, and I guess I'm going to kind of lock it in now by saying this, but I do want to add to all the couple of characters I've painted and do a full Blood Angel Primaris army to a very high standard. So that's what I want to do. That plus also I really, really, Ad, who works obviously in the office, he's a massive fan of Imperial Guard, and I've been watching him do on his lunch breaks like his Steel Legion, and I've always had a soft spot for Steel Legion, Armageddon because of Tycho, Third Company, Hive Tempestora, Hell's Reach by Aaron Dembski-Bowden. So I've always had, that's one of my favourite parts of like the Warhammer 40k lore and narrative is like Armageddon and Hive Tempestora. So I'm going to do a full Blood Angels Primaris army. I'm going to pick a unit and I'm going to work on that every month. That's what I want to do. And also I want to do a gaming, because I actually probably want to move back to gaming a little bit. I want to do a gaming Steel Legion army. So with brown base rims. So that's
can't believe it.
That's selling me out.
So that's so my Blood Angels will have black base rims and my Steel Legion will have brown base rims.
Right, quick rapid fire like list. What sort of units are you immediately thinking you're gonna get for each of those armies?
Blood Angels, loads of assault intercessors with jump packs. I'm just gonna call them assault marines. Death Company, a couple of dreadnoughts, and that's it really.
Because
I've got quite a few that I want to paint out. I've got a backlog of CS models that I really should paint.
He's got a full cabinet of Dantes. So full squad of them.
So Astarath, Sanguinor. There's a chaplain that I want to do. So that's basically that. So that's what I want to do for next. My whole thing for next year. And then I've already got loads of Steel Legion. So all the Lehman Russes you can think about, various variants, Mars Alpha patterns, Armageddon pattern basilisks, like Manticores, Sentinels. Like,
there's a lot of that stuff metal, the Steel Legion stuff.
Yeah, it's all metal. Yeah, it's all metal models. And I'm really gonna try. One of my favorite accounts on Instagram for Steel Legion is a guy called his name's Sam, and he's got his account is literally at Steel Legion or the Steel Legion. Like, I will put a link in below because I really love his work. He's got amazing Steel Legion army, and whenever I see stuff done by it, I'm always like, I really want to do a Steel Legion army. So with him, and then also seeing Adam's work, I'm just like, I've got to do it. But what I am going to try and do is within the army, I'm going to try and paint things to the best of my ability and hopefully pick some of those things to maybe enter into competitions. So that's basically the plan. So I get double use out of the things I'm doing, and it pushes me to paint as well as I can for my army. That's the plan. So
I think doing, especially picking an Imperial Guard thing, gives you a lot of scope to pick some cool competition stuff as well, actually.
Yeah. Well,
the Steel Legion stuff could... that some of that can look really cool.
Yeah, I don't know how much I want to push into like doing that at a high level, but potentially some characters and stuff. But I just want to get an army of them done because they're some of my favorite guard models. But that's hopefully I'll just be able to do some of my Blood Angel characters for GD and maybe do like an A team of Blood Angel characters as an entry or something like that. Potentially, I don't know.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
For me, I had like. I set myself like mental goals this year and didn't hit any of them. And like, I hardly painted this year, to be honest. My focus was just sort of elsewhere. And even the difference between like the beginning of the year to the end of the year with how I feel about painting has completely changed. Like, I think I was towards the beginning of this year, I think I was like fairly burnt out. Not even that I'd been painting that much, but just fairly not wanting to spend like my spare time on it. But going into the year, I had set myself some goals where like, I wanted to get back into gaming. So I wanted to paint an army and make sure I had an army. But I think I just set myself goals that were just too unrealistic for me. Like, I ended up, I had a 2,500 point Necrons army that I built, fully primed, sprayed the whole thing like all at once, and we've spoken about like batch painting before, and once I'd sprayed it, I just didn't want to look at it. Like, I was literally like, I spent like so much time in a short amount of time, kind of thing, like I'd spent a lot of time looking at it, do you know what I mean, and like doing it all at once, like a full army.
That's kind of like what I said about, do you want to do the thing or do you want to have the thing?
Exactly. I wanted to have the thing. I didn't want to do the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to have the thing. There was a couple of characters that I really wanted to paint. But other than that, like... That's where
motivation struggles, right? Because you don't actually care about doing it. There's zero enjoyment in doing it.
Yeah.
You just want to get to the end goal as quickly as possible.
Exactly. So I hit a wall there. And like... that negative experience, I think, then just made me like, I didn't even want to set my painting desk for a little bit. Like, I just couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
So, and then as we got on, we started doing this halfway through the year. Like, this has really helped me get like excited about painting again. So I definitely want it this year. I want to go like easier on myself with in terms of goals. Like, I think I just want to make sure, similar to what James said, really, like, I'm painting more than I did this year, and I've got some models that I'm happy with at the end of it to show for it, kind of thing. And also making sure that I'm enjoying the process when I am painting, because that's where I've gone wrong before, I think. Like I say, I wanted the army. I didn't really want to spend time painting the army. Yeah, starting with the Tau Kill team that I built, that's all ready to go now. That's like on the painting desk, ready to be painted. So that'll be like the holiday project. Then go into the next year.
Christmas chill model.
Yeah, the Christmas chill project. And I've got like a Primaris captain as well that I've had built for ages. That, you know, the limited plasma pistol.
Oh, well, such a good model.
Yeah. Limited plasma pistol, power fist one.
Yes.
Got that in a trade with Will, actually.
Oh, really?
You mentioned earlier. And that's just been built and sat on my desk for like, it was like the year that that model came out, whenever that was. So yeah, that's going to be my easing myself back into it, and then just kind of making sure that I'm painting a bit more regular than I was. But I think that's a good thing to, I think it's a good thing to learn, is that you don't have to set yourself these like incredibly lofty, unrealistic goals.
If you're enjoying the show and you want to get even more painting tips and techniques from us here at Siege, head over to our Patreon. With the Siege Studios Patreon, you'll gain access to a catalogue of over 250 PDF and video tutorials covering a variety of techniques, from our foundation tutorials to full character masterclasses and much more. We also have a tier just for you podcast listeners to help support the show. So if you want to take your paintings to the next step and make the most of your hobby time, head over to patreon.com/Siege Studios.
Something that I want to try and do is, just to touch on to what you're saying, is that I think trying to guarantee painting a little bit in some way that every day or every other day is something that I should have tacked on. Like I often have periods of time where I don't. I think like exactly what you're saying, like painting more, trying to do it every day a little bit or every other day a little bit will automatically put you in a better position. So that's something that I just want to throw in.
Fair. I think for me, interestingly, it's kind of the opposite of both of you. So I've been full-time doing commissions for 3 years in varying levels of madness. That's been like, some years that's meant like tons of armies, other years that's meant just turning over a lot of projects. And this year, like, we started the pod, I've started in the office and all that sort of thing. So in the last couple of months has been the first time in a long time where I've taken my foot off of the gas. Not necessarily, because when I was doing the commissions, I wasn't really painting for myself like, at all. And that's why I had to set myself like the goal of prepping for GD this year, was because I had such little time to work on any personal stuff at all. It was like, okay, I'm going to set some personal hobby time. That was like my goal for this year. And I think next year is going to be kind of similar, because I think next year is going to be the first like year where I'm not going crazy on commissions. Like I might do the odd couple here at work, but generally speaking, it's mainly just going to be like, I'm going to start painting for myself again. And I haven't really got a goal in terms of like volume or output, but obviously I really enjoy painting for display. So I'm hoping that, you know, Golden Demon in 24, I can chart with a couple of entries rather than just one. And later on into the year after the comp's gone, I'm not just like done waiting for the next one. Like, I'm just going to keep on painting for myself. And I might do some gaming projects. I've got my Sons of Horus army that's been not even built, not even like your Necrom army.
Oh, so you didn't even get as far as me.
Didn't even get as far as that. I've painted 4 TAC Marines, but
there you go. There's my small win.
Yeah.
I got further than you did.
I painted some of them to completion.
I painted one character. One character and one infantry model.
I painted one character and 4 infantry models.
And my infantry model made it onto the Warhammer hobby clinic thing or whatever it was.
Well, okay.
So,
is that worth 3 points? I'm not sure. Yeah, that's probably my goal for next year. Yeah. Just to focus on myself a bit more. I've never struggled to find time to paint or to paint enough stuff. It's just doing the right thing with it, if you get what I mean. So rather than working on like a big army project or something, that doesn't particularly interest me, or working on, you know, models for clients, which I absolutely love doing, but it's gotten to a certain point for me where I'm okay, I do actually want to start like painting some of my own stuff, because I feel like I'm really improving as a painter and I've kind of got nothing to show for it. Like, my cabinets are still empty.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, this is the best thing I've painted. See you later. Yeah. Let's touch on what you said then. So like how the listeners can set goals. I think what we wanted to talk about was the achievability of it, right? I think so many people suffer when at the start of the year, they're like, New Year's resolution, I'm going to do this army, like you said or whatever. And then you've set yourself such a mountain to climb that you get like 2 steps up that mountain and you think, yeah. Oh, what's the point in going on?
I also, one thing I would say is like, just to get out of it being a New Year's resolution thing, I know for ease, we're talking about like, oh, painting for the year and blah, 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 like, start now. Like, don't wait till January.
That's
like,
so true.
Start now.
Tomorrow never comes. Start now.
Because like we say, you've got the Christmas period and hopefully you've got some time off work as well. And that's such a good place to like, just have a chill, take the other distractions. You know, some people, you'll have more distractions because you'll have family staying over or whatever. But if you don't have to worry about work for a few days or like, or a week or whatever, Even planning it or coming up with your goals, if you start that now, you'll be in a way better position.
Rather than say one day, say day one. That's the way to do it.
That's a good one, isn't it?
That's it. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's not even a Jamesism. That's just a nice quote.
Yeah, that's a podcast quote if I've ever heard one.
We should start a podcast.
We should start a podcast. And I think, because I do want to get away from it being all New Year's resolutions and da, 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 and stuff like that. However, we do need to come up with our calendar.
We do.
We'll finalise that.
Let's announce it on the Christmas episode for next year. So on the Christmas episode for this year, we'll announce it for next year, I think.
Potentially. It'll either be next episode or the episode after. We will announce the full Paint Perspective painting calendar.
So I think what we do...
Get your final submissions so in.
I have something that I'd like to table that I think we could do quite well. All right. Doesn't have to be a full model. And I just want to caveat that. So for each of the months that we decide next year, the faction for that month, we have to paint something of that faction. Now, that could be a head or a weapon or a backpack, or it could be a bit of detail or something like that. But we paint something of that faction in that month, and we show and talk about it on the show each month. So it adds a little bit.
So then the listeners can paint along.
And
do you know what would be really cool as well? If between the three of us, we each painted like part of a model, we have like a sub-assembly each, and we like Megazord it.
Don't be saying that, because Joel will be going, can't just do the sub-assemblies.
That's my worst nightmare. I have to paint a sub-assembly and then it has to get put next, attached to the things painted by two professional painters. Absolutely not. What you should do is you should paint a full model and let me do the face, and then
that was my thought process. Is like, it's say, let's just say for sake of it, let's just say it's March McGregor, whatever. We paint something ultramarine, or
100%,
or like a helmet, or like a,
and we can,
or a shoulder, or whatever, like blah blah. Like
maybe that can be a little community challenge as well, like on the hashtag Paint Perspective on Instagram. Everyone can
we could just do it for the month as well. That'd be quite cool. Well, it doesn't have to be a full model, because then the investment doesn't have to be like this massive thing.
And then it's an achievable hobby goal.
There we go. We'll establish those rules when we announce the full calendar. I think.
Yeah, I think that's what we should do. So I think another way to get ready for like the new year, so to speak, is the thing that I always talk about, which is your painting journal. And I think within that, you can plan projects for the year, you can plan goals and achievements and things you want to do. And I think it gives you... I think
actually it is good to document stuff, because I'm sure there's been so many times where I've said...
He's coming around to it.
But I think as well, this is like holding yourself accountable in some way. And also not only that, just like not forgetting. Because I'm sure I set some goals at the start of the year and I just completely forgotten what they were.
Yeah, but we all do that.
Yeah. But that would be nice, because then even like at stages throughout the year, you can just quickly flip back and be like, oh, what? Steer yourself back on course. And I think that could be an ongoing thing as well. Because the thing I don't like about New Year's resolutions is it's like this thing you set in January and it's supposed to last like the whole year. Because like, what if you achieve that by like February?
Yeah.
It's like, now what? So I feel like setting goals should be a continuous thing that you're always looking to do.
Yeah. I mean, this is episode
29 or 30.
No. I mean, I was going to reference an old episode, like literally like 2 or 3 or something, where we spoke about, you know, small, medium and large goals and constantly reevaluating them and constantly changing them and stuff. That's definitely something to consider. Like,
but I do think there is something about writing them down and having boxes to tick. Like, I know full well, like even my day to day at work, like if I didn't have a to-do list to work through every day, I think I'd struggle getting all the things that I do get done, because it's not the physical ticking off of those things. So I think when you transfer that to like painting and to like your journal and having a page that, as I said, like you can have your first couple of all your pages, which are project planning, but having one that is like this year's things that I want to achieve, or this year's things, kind of shows you a bit of a metric of where you're at and where you want to be. So, you know, I'd advocate doing that hugely. I think that it's one of the most important things as a miniature painter that you could have is a painting journal. I genuinely mean that. I back it wholeheartedly.
I'll probably keep mine digital, I think. But I do appreciate the sentiment.
How do you feel about the whole like making yourself accountable? You know, sometimes people will like share their goals with their friends, so they've got like other people to keep them accountable. How do you feel about that?
I think that can be extremely beneficial. Like that... I don't know if it's like a personality thing. Some people it works better for others or what, but for me, if I had someone like asking me like, oh, how are you getting on with that? Like doing this, like to a certain extent, like if I was more in, I'll definitely, as I'm going to be painting more, I'll definitely be thinking, oh, like I better have something to talk about. Do you know what I mean? Or I better have something like more.
Gets like, to Sunday night and you're like, oh God, George is going to be asking me what I've been painting this week.
Yeah. Like I just have to say nothing again. This is like our accountability in a way, but I think having friends that you, even just in like a painting group or something like that, like just like a group chat or a Discord or something.
Oh, the Siege Studios Discord.
Yeah.
Oh, nice plug. I was literally going to say, start a painting group in 2024, as in you have a gaming night, have for every gaming night you have a night that is sitting around the table with your mates painting. That will give you way more achievement and spur you on, and you'll feel like you come away from it with something more tangible than a game's great. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think if you love gaming, then
even if you don't game, like it doesn't have to be like a substitute for gaming.
No, I know, I get that. But I know a lot of people do like gaming. But what I was saying is, like, I think start having, if you've got painting friends that are quite local to you, organize on a weekend or maybe a weeknight or whatever, organize a painting evening. Where you get around, you get some food in, if you drink, get a couple of beers in or whatever, blah, blah, like, and just sit around painting. And maybe within that, you can set yourself a challenge, right? We're all going to paint a character for our army tonight, or we're all going to paint a character model, or we're all going to paint a vehicle. Or like, I think that helps hugely to spur you on. It's something that I've found personally really helpful in the past with things. And
if you hear that and you're thinking, I don't really have that group of friends, like I said, I did plug it a moment ago, but there is the Siege Studios Discord. Yeah, there is a voice channel. And if you haven't got any hobby friends, maybe IRL, and you want to do things virtually, you could definitely plan something like that. And that's something that I absolutely love doing, is sitting in the audio channel on there while I'm painting. And it's like you're hanging out with your friends, but you get to do it from the comfort of your own home.
So, exactly. Yeah.
And you can meet some new people.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, I've never really done that. I've never really painted in a group necessarily, like actually painted. Like
in the physical.
Everyone sitting around. Or even been on like the phone or something while I'm painting. Because I don't know if I'd be able to concentrate as well on painting if I've also got to have a conversation. Do you know what I mean?
When you're just sitting talking and you're just sitting and you're focused on the painting and you're just talking to people as you're painting, you don't really divert attention from that onto the communication with people. Your focus is on the painting.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I just always thought.
That's kind of like the same thing, though, where some people are like, oh, I couldn't possibly listen to an audiobook while I paint. But for some people, that works.
That's what I mean. Like, I think that's why I like an audiobook or something, is because like that's just going to happen. I don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
It's just happening.
I find it depends what I'm doing. Sometimes when I like really need to like knuckle down and concentrate, I will not be able to do that. If I'm like just prepping a model, or I'm just like, cleaning the airbrush out, whatever, do you know what I mean? Like scenarios like that. Yeah. If I'm at the earlier stages of a project, I find it pretty easy to do because I can just sit and base coat kind of mindlessly.
True, yeah. I guess I could do stuff like that. I'm thinking of like edge highlighting and glazing or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that would be much easier. What would you two recommend for someone going into the new year, if they were going to spend the next year improving on something, what would you recommend they focus on in order to get the biggest possible improvement in that time?
So like over the course of a year rather than like one little thing to tick.
Yeah.
Like this is what you should work on for the duration of the year.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull line one of James's and him sheet, which is pressure management and controlling the brush. I think if you dedicate enough time to that every time you paint and every time you sit down, you will see massive improvement in your brush ability and also just in what you actually execute and how happy you are with what you've executed. I think that's one of the key fundamental things. It's the direct thing that puts paint from the palette onto the model. So you should focus on that as a constant working thing. And if you've never thought of that before, if you've not really put too much effort and thought into that in your painting, and you're looking for something new to start in the new year, I think that's one thing that will give you a really good foundation for everything else you do. So yeah.
Mine is kind of, coincidentally, sort of phase two of what James said.
Line two, him sheet.
It's focus on, rather than looking at like the bigger picture of a model when you're painting, focusing on being as neat and tidy as possible and consistent in like when you're doing your highlights, they're the same thickness on this part of the model was there or on this part of the model. Mm-hmm. Just being generally neat. I think that if you practiced, for example, painting like, I know it's a cliche thing, but if you practice painting like 10 Space Marine legs, I think that you would get better than painting like 10 random models. And that's something we've spoken about before. I think just focusing on being neat and sitting down when you're painting the model, rather than looking at it as like this big picture thing of like, I'm going to do this like this flare because I'm going to do like this technique, slap, chop, NMM, whatever it is. Rather than focusing on some grandiose thing, just being like, I'm going to paint this model really, really neat. I'm going to try and make it neater than the one I did last time. And next week you go, I'm going to try and paint it even neater than that one. Because we've spoken before about sitting and like batch painting 10 of the same model in a row to try and get like sharper and neater and see improvement. But even if you do that as a more grander scale over the course of a year, if you just focus on every single time you're painting, I'm going to be as neat as I can, as precise as I can, even something as small as that, because you've got that long time period to do it and you haven't got to necessarily see massive gains straight away, come December, you'll look at models you painted in January and you'll think, I've improved so much.
Yeah.
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 Nice.
Question of the week time. Thank you everyone for submitting your questions for Question of the Week. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on the show, please leave it in the comments below on YouTube, or if you are listening on any of the audio platforms of your choice, please go over to the Instagram at Siege Studios and send us a direct message, and we will hopefully answer it on the show for you. This week we have Mr. Elegant Gamer says, I've got a question for you all. What would you say is your favorite GW centerpiece model? So many good models in the AOS line. Curious if any of them win.
I had a quick think about this, and there's almost definitely some that I'm forgetting or something like that. There's loads that like come to mind. So like even within AOS, like I've always liked the Ilarial model.
Yeah,
I think that's cool. Phenomenal. Techless model's really good. I think it as more of a modern one, we've actually already spoken about it on this episode. It's AOS on a technicality.
Is it Demons?
The Bellicor model
okay.
for me is probably my favorite, like, current big centerpiece model. I think it's phenomenal.
That's funny that you said AOS on a technicality, because mine is also AOS on a technicality. Because mine is also not a new one, but Keeper of Secrets for me is just
I think
something about that model.
That's a phenomenal one, actually. Thinking about that,
and because that's a kit that has a couple of different variants in it as well.
Yeah,
there's a bit of flexibility there.
But I think. Non AOS, like sticking with 40k in terms of centerpiece models, not a huge one, but I think Triumph of St. Catherine is great.
Yeah,
I really like that.
That is a very good
just
one.
For the pure insanity of it being like nine models on one,
not nine one character beta, models on one,
or whatever
base.
It is.
Yeah,
but I think Bellicor for me in recent years, anyway, I just think that's an incredible model.
I will remain within 40k, and I will go with. The big bad Gazgul Mag Uruk Thraka. Because he.
I do love Gaz.
That's a good one.
Because that model, to see it from the second Ed one go to the in between one, which is the metal chunky mega armored one, and then go to the brand new one, that model for me is just an instant icon model within the range. And it's got so many cool little quirky little bits, like the little buttons on the back of the suit as if he has to get wound up and work, like, all that kind of stuff. Like, there's just some really cool little details. On
stuff like that's so fun because you don't necessarily notice it until you're painting it as well. I didn't know he had that on it until I was painting
it. It's all the little parts that make him, like even the lights inside the collar, like you don't really see them, but like, you know, they are genuinely very, very, very good. But yeah, like I think Gaz is probably one for me. I think Gaz is his top draw.
Hobby hack. This is the closing segment where we share a little hobby hack with you. A little tradition at the end of every episode. I've got one this week. I'm back again.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when I was doing my JD piece, funny enough, that I've just started.
I was about to make a joke and be like, he's learned some tricks while he's been doing this, while he's been doing this competition piece.
So I wanted to try for the first time doing like flagstone, like cobblestone bases. I'm terrible at basing. Like it's not. I like doing like plain, simple stuff. I enjoy doing basing, but it's not something that I consider myself like particularly good at. Especially when it comes to scratch building. Especially when it comes to scratch building stuff, and not just like using like product with your sand or bit of GW terrain or whatever. So, following the tutorial, I got some mill apart and I like rolled it out flat and I like cut little stones out of it, put it on the base, and I'd done that and I was pretty happy with it, and then. you know, when you're not happy with something in the moment, then like 4 days later, you're like, this isn't it. This is not it, Chief. So what I'd done was, because there was just a bit too thick, that was my main like gripe with them. And it wasn't like very flat. Like they were sort of almost sort of bowed where I'd like rolled them out. It was like thicker in the middle and like a bit flatter on the edges almost. So what I'd done was I got, it was already on a plinth, and I literally masked it all off around the edge, put it in a vise, and I got like a, you know, like a wood plane. Yeah. And I literally like shaved it down flat.
Yeah.
But by that point, I had this just like perfectly flat, level, nice piece of millipart that I could just start carving into. So this made me think, basically this is just a hack for just like doing flagstone bases or whatever. Instead of sculpting with the millipart like while it's still soft, like all logic would tell you to do.
Yeah.
If you roll out like between like two bits of baking paper, like as if you was making like some sort of festive cookies or whatever.
Icing for your cake.
There you go. Let it set and you've just got this like wafer of millipart. Stick that down to your base. You can just get your hobby knife and you can just start carving at it. Just going mad. And it like a scalpel blade just like flows through it like perfectly. And you can just start like carving bits out as if it's stone. It looks great.
Could I tack something on?
Go for it.
If you get some silicone chocolate molds off of Amazon, I know you've got to buy something for it, but if they're really cheap. Some liquid plaster, you pour that in and it makes the perfect sort of tiles for basing. Once they're set, you just break them up with a hammer and you get some really, really cool broken tile slabs as well. And again, it's perfect thickness and everything's
really good. I'm getting some throwbacks to that hack we done where I was smashing a slate with a hammer.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a very good time with that.
No.
smashing the slate with a hammer. So
yeah.
I'll be careful with this.
Yeah, give it a try.
Yeah. Fair enough. Thank you everyone for listening to this week's episode of Paint Perspective. If you do want to get any more tips from us here at Siege Studios, please consider joining us on Patreon. And we also have a tier just for you podcast listeners to help support the show. We will catch you very soon next week.